The title of this message is Faith That Will Not Fail. Over these next four Wednesdays, I'm going to speak to you on building powerful faith. Because it is not just by chance that some people have faith and others do not. The Bible says all men do not have faith. And yet it also says that to everybody has been given a measure of faith. So what has happened is that some people have lost their faith along the way. Children have faith. But somewhere, either in the teen years or in the 20s or the 30s or even in the 60s, people can lose their faith. Do not think that because you're a veteran of Christianity that it cannot happen to you. For I have seen powerful men and women who over the time and the weariness of their walk have come to a place where those who shone so brightly stopped shining and lost a lot of their faith. And as pastor, and one who has some responsibility apostolically for others outside of this church, I want to equip you over this month. Think of yourself as being in the army, and you've come to boot camp, and you need some training to fight the good fight. Do you know what Paul said? He said, I have finished my course. I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. And when you start to lose your faith, you will start to lose everything in your life. You will lose strength. You will lose satisfaction. You will lose purpose. You will lose your contact with the Lord. If you are a person during this last season who is more critical than you should be, you can judge yourself, because others might not judge you as clearly as you would like to judge yourself. But ask yourself, are you critical? If you're a critical person, I suggest to you that you are losing your faith. If you are a person who is depressed, you're suffering from depression, I suggest to you that you are losing faith. If you are a person who is discouraged, so much so that this discouragement is like a long-term illness, I suggest you are losing faith. If you are a person who is depressed, I suggest to you that you are losing faith. If you do not have focus, direction, and if you are not serving the Lord with all of your heart, I suggest to you that you are losing faith. And the Bible says that some who have cast away their faith have become like a shipwreck. May it not happen to you. But you're coming into a new year. And in this new year, there will be some surprises. You might be able to figure out some of the obstacles that will be before you in 2013. But some obstacles, some distractions, some attacks against you will come on your blind side. They will sneak up when you least expect them. And what kind of person will you be? How will you get through this next year? The Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. If you have faith, it doesn't matter how bad the storm will be. If you have faith, it doesn't matter what kind of obstacles or difficulties you might have to face. Because if you have faith, you will prosper. You will succeed. You will be an overcomer. Now, please open your Bibles with me. And let's look at Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read verse 31 and 32. Luke 22, Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you. I'm reading, excuse me, out of the New King James Version. So it might be slightly different than the NIV, but it's the same basically. Verse 31, Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith, say your faith, should not fail. And when you have returned to me, isn't that interesting? When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you for the persistence of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the anointing today to teach us and prepare us for this year. We open our hearts to receive all that you have. And we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Revelation is coming with all of its judgments, all of its demise, all of its chaos and catastrophe. The book of Revelation is sure to come. It is the mountains of which we are now presently in the foothills of. We are in the run-up to the greatest time of trouble that the world has ever seen. Each year, as we get closer to it, we will find that life will become more intense. Struggles will become more intense. There will be more difficulties for us to face. But with every difficulty that comes, God will give you more power. He will give you more grace. He says there is no temptation which is not common to man. But with every temptation that comes, the Lord says that he gives that amount of grace for the day. He says, don't even worry about tomorrow. Today's got its own problems. But he says that with it, if you look to the Lord, he will give you what you need, not just to endure it, but to be an overcomer in it. And this is your place as a son and daughter of the living God. When I look upon you, if you're still at Antioch this time next year, how many of you will be beat up like an old dish rag or like an overused carpet at the front door? How many of you will look like the back end of a bus? And how many of you will be glowing and shining? How many of you will have a testimony of the grace and power and goodness of the Lord in your life? Let me tell you, it's not conditional upon what you will have to face or what battles might come before you, what kind of onslaught that might rage against you. It is only conditional upon your response and whether or not you can fight the good fight of faith. And having done everything to hold fast to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this road, as we get closer to the book of Revelation, will have more potholes. Have you ever gone on a country road through the forest? I've been on some southern farms with 1,000 acres and taken a four-wheeler off-road vehicle on some farmer's trails through the bayou. with some good friends of mine down in no man's land, somewhere in the lost corners of Georgia, where gators hide under tree roots and bobcats howl at night. And my good friend says, "Would you like to take a ride?" I said, "Of course, because I love adventure." So we got on this four-wheeler and we start going through the fields, which was real nice. And then we came to the forest, and the road had more potholes. But then we got down to the bayou, and that's like the swamp land. And before long, the four-wheeler's effect was of no effect, because we were in a big hole, and we couldn't get out. And I was thanking the Lord for cell phones, because he called one of the guys who works for him, who brought in a big tractor, and they were able to pull us out of the mud. See, you don't know where the road's going to take you this year. There will be some potholes. There will be some times when your wheels get stuck. You might need some help along the way. But it's not the potholes or the bayou that is your demise. But it's whether or not you have learned to fight the good fight of faith. So I ask you at the beginning, in this introductory sermon to this series for Wednesday nights, I ask you at the beginning, how is your faith? Because it's not good enough for your faith to suffice you for today. Because tomorrow, there will be some intensities coming that will try your faith. And if your faith is not strong, woe unto you when that day comes. You need to learn, if you haven't already, how to be strong in the faith. Jesus came to Peter, whose name was Simon, just before he was about to die. He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat." I'm aware that Satan himself only asks permission to really come against somebody when that somebody is extraordinary, like Job. The Bible says about Job that he was a righteous man, that he hated evil. You can see that he had a care for his family. He was the wealthiest man because of God's blessings on him. But he was also the first one mentioned in the Bible to take orphans into his house. He gave to the poor. He was one of extraordinary godliness and character. And Satan asked permission to come against him, saying that he only serves God because of all the benefits and blessings that he gets. And if the blessings are taken, and if he has trouble in his family, and if demise comes to his economy, then he will curse God. And the Lord says, "No, he won't." And this man was attacked by the devil. The end of the story, 9 months later, is that he was blessed double to whatever he had at the beginning. But here's the Lord Jesus giving a warning to Peter. Who does God give a warning to? Have you had a warning for 2013? You might say, "I don't want a warning, thank you." What if the Lord gives you one? Why would Jesus give a warning to Peter anyway? Because he loves him. He wants him to be ready. And maybe today, I am giving you a warning for the same reason. You don't know what 2013 holds for you. But Jesus knew very specifically about Peter. And he said, Satan has asked permission to sift you as wheat. Now I want you to just picture the wheat being sifted. And it's sifted with a threshing fork, a winnowing fork actually, where they would take the wheat and beat it and run over it with threshing sleds until the husk is broken. And then they will take the fork and throw it up in the air on a high mountain on a windy day. And the wind will blow the husks and the chaff away, and the heavy grain of the wheat falls to the ground. And some people say, well, if Satan comes against you, everything will suffer, but at the end, the stuff that's left will be the good things of God. I wish it was true in every case, because I have seen people who have made shipwreck. And I've seen powerful men and women of God who have been tabled or shelved, who lived the remaining half of their life not serving the Lord with passion, but just getting by. Because one day, Satan came to sift them as wheat. And what he wants is for the strength to fall out of your life. He wants the blessings to fall out of your life. He wants health to fall out of your life. He wants ultimately your walk with the Lord to fall out of your life. And he wants your faith to fall out of your life. So when he's sifting you with all the struggles and difficulties, it's not just to beat you up. It's to destroy your faith. And if he can destroy your faith, you will not shine. You might survive, but you will not shine. But today, I'm speaking to you about faith that will not fail. And the faith that will not fail comes because you've learned what the scripture says about building a strong faith. Now, before we leave this subject of those who might lose faith, let's talk for a minute about the kinds of things that Satan will use to sift you like wheat. First of all, it's disillusionment. For Christians, I think this is the big one. Not sin so much. Because there are Christians who just love the Lord with all their hearts. And although they're not perfect, they're godly people. But they have an expectation of who God wants them to be or what they're supposed to do. And they have given God a time limit for it. I have seen so many start off with something so graciously, with such excitement and such fervor to serve the Lord. But after a year goes by, or 2 years goes by, or 3 years goes by, or 4 years goes by, there is unfulfilled expectations. And the worst is that the end result for those people is worse than when they had ever started. Before they had ever said, I want to go into the ministry. Before they had ever said, I want to do this thing. It takes time to discover who you are and what you're supposed to be. And let nobody think too highly of themselves in the process. I know if God didn't enable me, I would not be able to preach. If he didn't help me, I couldn't be a pastor. If he didn't anoint me, I couldn't pray and see results. For who am I? But whoever I'm supposed to be, that's what I want to be. And I always put it before the Lord. I say, Lord, what if I wasn't a pastor? What if I wasn't able to preach? What if it happened to me that I couldn't do the things that I do now in serving you? Well, I would say, Lord, help me to serve you where I'm supposed to for that season. See, greatness is not standing behind this pulpit necessarily. Greatness is doing what you're supposed to do now with all of your heart and with all of your strength unto the Lord. I've known of some Christians who said, well, until God puts me in the place of being a pastor, I'm not going to do anything. That was a long time ago. They're still doing nothing. And a wasted life. The number one reason that people lose faith is disillusionment and disappointment. So Satan's come to sift you as wheat. Are you going to let disappointment and disillusionment take your faith? No. The second place that I will say causes a lack of faith or a losing of faith is sin. The Bible says, the sin that so easily besets you. And when a person has secret sins and they live in sin, I don't mean that you trip once in a while because, well, a lot of people trip once in a while. The Bible says, however, the steps of a good man. How about we say a good woman? The steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. Though they fall, they will not be cast out. For the Lord upholds them in his hands. But if you persist in a life of sin, if you make it your lifestyle to be a sinner, then the Bible says that your sin will separate you from God and you will not have faith. Satan will dance on your head. He'll ruin your confidence. He'll take away your happiness and joy, and he'll beat you up bad and tell you that you're not worth anything, so you might as well just sin more. So the second thing that will cause you to lose faith is sin. The third thing that will cause you to lose faith is the traditions of man. For in Matthew chapter 15, verse 6, Jesus said, the word of God has become of no effect because of your traditions. See, there's a lot of traditions in the United States of America that are not good ones. Now, I like baseball and I like apple pie. I like a lot of what's here in America. But you don't find a lot of it on TV or in the movies. And there is a program called Humanism that is running like a freight train in your house. And it has within it the traditions of man. And the traditions of man is the philosophy that man doesn't need God and that there are no absolute truths. And so many are like the proverbial frog in the frying pan or in the boiling water, which at first it's cool and the frog doesn't know that the heat is on. And little by little it gets hotter and hotter, and before the frog knows it, he's cooked. And a lot of people, in fact, this society is a frog pot. And you're in the pot. And I'm wondering what you're going to do with all the traditions of man that come down the pipes. Because it will ruin your faith. Because once you start believing in the norms of society and what is on the tube, then after a while, you start to doubt what the scripture says. And you ghettoize the scriptures. You ghettoize the word of God. You put it in a place where it's of no effect to you. And when the word of God is of no effect to you because of man's traditions, you will lose faith. And woe to you in the day of battle. Because all the reality shows on TV will not help. The fourth way that you can lose your faith, the Bible says, is through the deceitfulness of riches. But we could expand it to say any idols, any distraction that you put your focus on. In fact, if there are things in your life that have become the focus of your life, so much so that you spend all of your time and all of your thinking and all of your energies in those things and not in things that are concerning the things of the Lord, that is a distraction for you. And it will destroy your faith. It will make you lukewarm and cold. See, I like to paint. Some of you have seen my paintings. In fact, over this month, I took one day and I did another elephant painting. And I like it. I took a photograph of a charging elephant. He was charging us. We were backing up in a car as fast as we could. And this elephant was coming down the road. And just before his charge, I took his photograph. He didn't like it. And he started charging. Well, I said, I want to paint this guy and call it the warrior. And sure enough, I took a day and painted him. Maybe I'll bring him to church one day when we do one of our art classes and show you. But I cannot spend my days painting. Now, if it was my livelihood, if it was what God wanted me to do, I could become an artist. If I gave myself to it, I think I could become a good artist. Even make a living off of it. I have sold some of my paintings for $4,000. But it's just a hobby. I get to paint about 2 days a year. That's it. I still love it. But I can't focus on it because I have a higher calling on my life, a different calling on my life. And so I want to ask you, what is the focus of your life? I'm not talking about the fact that you have to go to work to put bread on the table, but what are you doing in your off hours? Is there a focus in your life that is after the Lord? Because if it's not, I suggest to you that your faith is weak. Sorry. The fifth thing, and the last thing, that I want to tell you can destroy your faith is believing an evil report and focusing on an evil report. See, the children of Israel could not enter into the promised land because they believed an evil report. It's a spiritual thing. You cannot enter into the blessings of God for your life, if you're always hearing gossip, negative words, criticisms, and murmurings, if that's your diet, you're sick. All of that negative communication will undermine faith in your life. So let me just give you these five again. You will lose faith through disillusionment and disappointment. 2, if you walk continuously in sin. 3, if you follow the traditions of man, namely humanism. 4, if you have idols, cares of this world, the love of money, other distractions. And 5, if your life is one full of negative reports and evil thinking. So these things will be the sifting tool that Satan will use to sift you in 2013. Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, Simon," maybe I should yell out your name, but I won't, because I might leave somebody out. "Simon, Simon," anybody here named Simon? "Satan has asked permission." Satan only asks permission when somebody has greatness lined up for them. Some of you are in the room that leads to the room of greatness. But greatness isn't just doing what you want to do. It's doing really well what God wants you to do. I tell you, if an usher serves with extraordinary grace, they'll be great, like Nehemiah or Naomi. If a woman of prayer excels, she'll be great like Lydia, whom a whole town is named after, right beside the town of Philippi, because I've been there to Lydia. So you're on this journey. You're on the journey to walk in the purposes and the blessings of the Lord in this year. So as it all comes down against you, and some of it will, some of you might have a year of splendor with only a few rotten apples that fall to the ground, but others might have all the apples on your tree fall. Jesus said to Peter, Satan's asked permission to sift you like wheat. And then Jesus says something very unusual. He says, "But I have prayed for you." How about that? How would you like Jesus to pray for you this year? Is that a good thing? In fact, he says that he intercedes. Consider Jesus the high priest and apostle of your calling, who daily intercedes and prays for you. He is such a high priest who has entered into the Holy of Holies, who is not like any other high priest, because he has suffered in all ways like you, yet without sin, in order that he might be a faithful high priest and represent you. Jesus praying for you. Can you get your head around that? Now, what will happen if somebody prays for you? Do you understand that when somebody prays, angels are dispatched from the courts of heaven? "Oh Lord, My good friend has a battle today. They're struggling with their health. They're struggling with their family. They're struggling with their marriage. They're struggling with the loss of a job. They're struggling with some kind of trauma. Oh God, would you help them today? Angel number 364, step forward. Go and help that soul. If Jesus' prayer can help Peter not to lose faith, what about your prayers? Can your prayers help somebody not to lose faith? I believe it with all my heart. That's why we have to be a family and not just church hoppers. That's why we have to build something together so that we can stand with each other and walk with each other. Over this holiday season, ho, 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 I was in bed for some of the time. And it was a time in my life for about 3 weeks where I could hardly speak, only whisper. My grandchildren kept coming up to me and saying, "What's wrong with you, Papa?" But every day, I got an email or a phone call from somebody who needed prayer. And even though my voice was a whisper, every day I prayed for many people. And if Jesus said, "Peter, Simon, Satan's asked permission, but I have prayed for you. Please get hold of this. As you step forward into this new year, something supernatural happens when somebody prays for somebody." And at the end of the day, it might be the difference between you shining or sulking. And then Jesus says something else to Peter. Look at these words. He says, "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Notice, Jesus is praying for Peter's faith. He's not praying that Peter will not have a rough time. He's not praying that Peter will not be tempted or challenged. He's just praying for Peter's faith. Because if you have faith, you've got it all. I've seen people who are in the worst condition, in the worst situation, with a smile on their face because they had faith in God. And I've seen others who just had a few little troubles that aren't worth mentioning drag themselves around with such complaining that they're not worth listening to. Do you know these people? You're not one of them. So Jesus was praying for Peter's faith. And then he says, "And when you have returned to me." Now that's an amazing statement. When you have returned to me. See, when you lose faith, you actually have stepped away from the Lord. Oh no, this is not a good thing. You don't realize it. If somebody were to say, "Are you a Christian?" You'd say, "Yes." "Do you love Jesus?" "Yes." But you know, if you've lost faith and the Lord seems far away. Believe me, I've seen Holy Ghost Spirit-filled jumping and shouting preachers lose faith and become empty and enter a life of depression. But not you. So ask yourself this question. I want you to ask, this is the second question I'm asking you. First one was, how is your faith? Now this one is, are you really close to Jesus? Because that's the secret. It was in our prophetic words earlier. There's an open heaven. There's a calling for you to walk close to the Lord. This is the big test. How passionately, almost romantically, are you in love with Jesus today? How is your affection towards him, and how do you feel his affection is toward you? The Lord says, Peter, when you are returned to me, that's when his faith is restored. Then he says, serve, strengthen your brothers. Now this is a key. In fact, if you look at the verses before this one, it talks about who is greater and who serves. The Lord says in verse 26, this is Luke 22, verse 26, but not so among you. On the contrary, who is greatest among you, let him be the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. This is the key here. The Lord says to Peter, so when you've returned to me and your faith is strengthened, comfort, strengthen, encourage your brothers. This is it, and it's real simple. We're going to look at how to have a powerful faith over these next 4 weeks. But I ask you this question. Are you really serving strong? I don't mean just serving casually. Are you serving strong? Serving the Lord strong? Because it's an indicator of your faith. And once you walk in the love and grace and faith of the Lord, you can't help serving people. You just can't help it. You got to serve, you got to bless, you got to encourage. Because God puts it in your heart to do that. And if you've kind of taken 10 steps back and said, well, I'm glad to be a part of Antioch International Church, or maybe after today I'm going to a different one. Or maybe you've said, Lord, for this year, whatever you give me, whether great or small, I will serve you with everything I've got. Because you're my King and my Lord. And I love you with all my heart. And I'm walking intimately with you and full of faith. Then it doesn't matter if you're the preacher, the greeter, the soundboard, administrator, or somebody who comes to clean the building. You say, I'm so glad to be part of a team who serve the living God. And whatever my place is, I will serve with all my strength and with all my might. It's an indicator of your faith. And those who draw back are challenged with their faith. Those who are on the periphery and will not take ownership, I suggest to you, search your heart. There's a lack of faith there. So, what kind of 2013 do you want to have? Is it one full of faith? Well, faith without works is dead. So, step up to the works and do with all your heart. And don't miss any of these Wednesday nights when I'm going to talk to you about building a powerful faith that will not just take you through this year, but if you hold on to what I tell you out of God's word, it will take you through the rest of your life. Let's pray now. And I'm going to invite you to come up to the front, those of you who would like special prayer. Our prayer team will minister to you. And if you have prayer need for anything, please come to the front and they will pray for you. Why don't the prayer team please come now? And I'd like everybody to stand to your feet and I want to pray over you. Just hold your hands out like this, please. And just think that you're holding 2013 your life for the next year in your hands. And you're going to put it up to the Lord now. You're going to give it to the Lord. Would you say this prayer with me? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for bringing me to 2013. I give my life to you. To be a person of faith. Search me out, Lord. And see if there be any area of weakness concerning my faith. And give me powerful faith that I might be an overcomer. For this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even my faith. Therefore, Lord, give me faith. And let this faith shine out upon my children, my family members, grandchildren. I receive your blessing now. I receive the power of faith, the release of faith, and the glory of faith. I receive it today. I step off the boat into 2013, taking hold of the faith of my God. And I will not be denied. I receive your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless all of you and watch over you and keep you and strengthen you this very day with his power in your life. I speak it over you in his powerful name. Amen. God bless you.